Good morning. I'm Rex Friesen. I'm the crop consultant and public relations representative for Southern Kansas Cotton Growers. We're a cotton cooperative in southern South Central Kansas. We have two gins. We service South Central Kansas as well as North Central Oklahoma. I'm going to avoid a lot of details here. There's a very interesting story behind this whole thing, but I'll cut to the chase. The study was born out of an unfortunate situation where a field was subjected to drift and or volatilization. I was asked by both parties, by the local co-op that applied the spray as well as the grower, to try to come up with an estimate of yield loss as well as economic loss so that they could settle up. Everybody's working together really well. We have a great relationship with all of them, so this is a very good experience to figure out how to resolve this problem of how much loss did we actually get. When I walked out in the field on the 19th of July, this is what I saw. I had already been in this field because I had a study going on with the Cotton Incorporated funding to look at foliar fertilizer. This kind of gave me an indication that might be a little bit derailed. This is what the plants looked like a week before that. So I knew that there was about the time of application. And as information kind of came to the surface, more and more was revealed. Here's the scenario as it happened. We had a quarter section of cotton to the north, wheat stubble to the southeast, that was no-till, and wheat stubble to the southwest that was tilled. There are two different farmers here. The no-till stubble was sprayed on July 9th, and I don't know if it shows up much on there, but there's a gradient of damage going from south to north. The spray treatment that was involved here, first of all, it was applied to the 80 acres of the no-till wheat stubble field. It was adjacent to the border of the cotton section. Weather had been hot and dry for about a month prior to this application. Wind direction and speed of time application was out of the southwest at 13 miles an hour. It was a little breezy. It was 84 degrees. The tank mix involved Touchdown, Rugged, which is a 2,4-D acid formulation. That's the chemical in question, and then Choice and Power Lock. This is the rainfall that we had for the entire season. For the Wellington area, that's where this field occurred. It's hard to see right in this area here, between the time of application, which was over here, and here, we only had about a half inch of rain, and it was hot, warm to very warm. So that was we were actually up on the front end of having drought symptoms or drought danger and drought stress when we had this one big rain on the 14th of July. The layout of the field situation actually allowed a comparison between unaffected and affected just because of how they were arranged in the field with the conventional tillage on the one spot and the no-till on the other. I wanted to look at the response of the plants as well as the yield overall and the quality overall in the fields, and finally at the economic impact. This is the progression of the damage. Basically, the tops of the plants got really whippy. They eventually set some fruit some were malformed, but a whole different situation. Here, these are the five. I sampled five consecutive plants in a row from the unaffected as well as the affected area. The distance between these plots were about 25 paces is all. That's how sharp the distinction was. The main thing I want to point out on these pictures is all the presence of mature bolls, open bolls. This is all right the day before we put on our boll opener, our Ethifon treatments. The affected areas, you can see there's almost a complete absence of open bolls. Here it is. There's some green bolls in the top, and then just a little bit down below. When I picked all the bolls off those five plants, this is what the result was. You can see there's an obvious difference in maturity of the bolls that are present. That's not unexpected. because the effect of 240 often is a delay of production, delay of bowl set and development, a lot of little bowls, and this is the time of bowl opener, so you can see that the vast majority of these aren't even going to make. And that's true for here too. Following that period of drought that we had a month of cool, really wet weather that delayed our whole crop, so that put our entire late crop at risk. Just for bowl numbers, the unaffected area had 48 green bowls and 17 open bowls for a total of 65. The affected area, this is the severely affected area, there are 54 green bowls and only 2 open bowls. And a lot of, again, numbers don't really say everything because a lot of these green bowls were very small. Here's the plant mapping of those 5 plants. You can see the breakdown of where things are happening. The note of first fruiting branch was somewhere around 7, actually, but there was on average there was a lot of variability. These open bowls on the bottom of the plant were actually almost entirely on fruiting branches. A lot of the green bowls here, as well as here, are all these here were on vegetative branches, and then it shifted the entire distribution of where the fruit was on the plants up, which makes sense. Here we see a big gap here, or a big drop in fruit set or fruit retention, and then it picks up afterwards. So there's an evidence of a late fruit set on there. This is what they looked like just before harvest. This looks like it's stripped already, but it's not. I picked another set of 5 consecutive plants just next to where that first sample came from. This is right before harvest. You can see the presence of a lot more white bowls. These are not perfect yet, even so, because we did have damage from drought, believe it or not, in drought in that season. And then in the affected area, there's still some white, but there's a lot of bowls of intermediate maturity and intermediate opening. Again, the totals don't reflect really what's going on. The unaffected area is had 32 bowls, but they were all open. The affected area had 29. I'm calling them open, although in reality, only about half of those were open. This is what they looked like. So a lot of the bowls, these, they're all open. Here we've got a lot of immatures that never made it, and here we have some partials that are only partially open. What I did then from that point is I took the cotton that I could reasonably get out of the bowls without doing too terribly much to try to mimic what a stripper would do. That's the cotton that came out of both of them. The numbers on the unaffected area had 117 grams of seed cotton. On the severely affected, I had 51 grams of seed cotton, which is a 56.4% reduction. And I don't doubt that the quality was affected too, but I didn't measure that in this case. Now on the field-wide level, looking at the total yield loss and difference in quality, this is the part of the field that was harvested for to look at the unaffected. This is the severely affected area that was harvested. My approach on this was to mark off areas in both areas to get an estimate of maximum yield potential and maximum quality within the unaffected area to compare with another marked off area that was the most severely affected for yield as well as grades. Both sections were to be harvested and ginned separately so I could get total yield as well as grades for quality separately. And then I used the total yield from the entire field and quality grades to compare against the unaffected area again to see what kind of deviance or deviation there was from that. This is what it looked like. The unaffected area here, this is due to the wind pattern. The damage was it was just a gradient going this way. Marked this off as 31 acres of unaffected area. Then this entire southeast corner was also marked off and harvested. That was 21.3 acres. The entire section, or quarter section, not just excluding this, was 149.1 acres. Impact on the yield. The unaffected area resulted in 577 pounds per acre. The severely affected to the east was 283 pounds per acre for a total loss of 294 pounds per acre. That's a 51% yield loss in Lent. And because of the size of that plot of the severely affected area, I know it was worse than that. There's no way some of that made 283 pounds per acre. It was much less. But to get an area large enough to harvest and gin and all that, it included some cotton that started getting better, a little better into that plot. The unaffected area compared to the entire field, on average for the acres there, the total yield on that quarter section was 513 pounds per acre, resulting then in a total loss field-wide of 64 pounds per acre. That's an 11% yield loss compared to the unaffected area. Impact on quality. The unaffected area graded out, the loan rate is 48.33. The severely affected came out to 43.40, which is right at a nickel per pound difference. It's actually kind of surprising. I thought it might be more than that. The unaffected area versus the entire field, the loan rate of the entire field, this is very interesting, 48.35, which is actually a fraction better than the 48.33. Interesting. On average, then, there was no effect on loan rate. This is a breakdown of the quality on grades. The unaffected area, if you'll notice, that is almost identical to the whole field. The affected area, the bigger areas or the biggest changes are highlighted in yellow. In color, the color was worse on the affected. The leaf count was higher. The mic was a little lower. The surprising change, though, is the difference in turnout. Look at the contrast here in ginning, 34% versus 24%. Trash content, 20% versus 44%. So it looks like a lot of the impact of 2,4-D on cotton is going to be on your ginning and your cost of ginning. That resulted in a cost of $16.77 per bale to gin it versus a credit of $1.45 credit. The field average, that's where the difference shows up here, 32% turnout versus 34, and then 56 cents credit versus $1.45. So quickly, the unaffected areas, or to estimate economic losses, I subtracted the whole field from the best times the Lent value times the total acres. The Lent value in this case is loan rate plus 23 cents a pound as added value to from the PCCA marketing pool times the total acres. The total then is $6,808.50 economic loss on a quarter section of cotton damaged by 2,4-D. Honestly, I thought that was pretty low considering what it looked like from walking the field. Conclusions. 2,4-D exposure reduced, this is on the subsamples, those plants, reduced and or delayed bulb production and maturation. 2,4-D reduced seed cotton yield by 56% in the worst case. On the whole field, it reduced Lent by 51% in the worst area and 11.1% on the whole field. Exposure reduced Lent quality and value by about a nickel a pound due to poor quality of color, leaf content, and lower mite grades. And then the whole field quality was not significantly different than unaffected area. And finally, total economic losses amounted to $6,800. And damage reduced ginning turnout and therefore significantly increased producer cost per bale for ginning. Couple of quick observations. This field situation was ideal for confirming and documenting 2,4-D movement and effects because it allowed for a large unaffected and a large affected areas. The 2,4-D acid formulation rugged drifted at application or volatilized after the rain on 7/14 or both. Contrary to the assurances and counsel of Winfield Solutions representative, and hence it is not a safe formulation as it was portrayed. The calculated versus guesstimated, first-time guesstimate impacts of 2,4-D on yield quality and economic losses were significantly different or actually less than what I was expecting. And then finally, the difference or the lack of difference in the quality grades might just because the rest of the field to the north was better, so it had better quality, or there was an actual benefit to quality and possibly even yield from the exposure over part of the gradient of the affected areas where the dosage was just right to help. And I'll just quit right there. Are there any questions? Or am I out of time?
We'll take one quick question while we're setting up for the other presentation.
Yes, sir.
Rick, I know in Kansas y'all have quite a bit of this issue going on. Do you think your case study is fairly representative for the damage that y'all saw this year, or where do you think it is in that range of damage?
That's tough, because there is usually some damage in a lot of places and bad damage in a few. Honestly, I know of only a small handful of damaged fields this year in our area. Now, in the far west, it's a whole different case. They suffered greatly this last year. And this is a huge issue in Kansas, and it's really going to be on the front burner for a while here, because it's a huge problem in Kansas.
We'll have to hold the questions until after the session. Thanks very much for your presentation.
Thank you.